I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Dr. Three, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaios and Major Death. So let's roll into the poll question to get everything going. So, Mage, you want to go over last week's question?
Sure. So, poll question for episode 20. How excited about Hearthstone Battlegrounds are you? We had 64 votes, a nice turnout there. And the winning vote, 39% of you said very excited. So the fact that it's now an open beta as we record this is probably, if you didn't have it, very good for you. Somewhat excited, 34%. So that is 73, if my math is correct.
Mm-hmm.
13% said not very excited. 14% said no excitement at all. We got some, 27% not real excited. There we got some comments about vehemently opposed, and if I wanted to play an auto battler, I'd just go play an auto battler. And then some comments about somewhat excited. There was talk that maybe there should be more rewards, but we saw a legendary quest today that helps with some rewards on that. So we'll talk about that during the news. So
nice.
Thank you everyone to vote.
Also this week. Also, very exciting. We hit 20 episodes last week, so that's 20 weeks in a row we've been putting out podcasts. Many more weeks to come for you guys,
too. So does that mean that the podcast is old enough to drink now? In the U.S. it is.
Yeah, after this episode,
when
this
when it goes live.
Exactly.
We could go out and celebrate.
You know, in my state, you have to be 21 to buy cigarettes now, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there you go. So I could drink and smoke. Yeah, that's
your drinking ages are absurd. You know that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct.
That's because we're not responsible enough to be able to do it any sooner, I suppose. And even then, 21. I know some 21-year-olds that aren't very responsible. So
precisely.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go into the news. 15.6.2 patch dropped on Monday. Squelch is fixed. Quest rerolling is fixed. That's good.
Yay!
Several Android crashes fixed, along with battleground balance changes and memory optimizations for low RAM devices. So that's kind of... I always felt like that's one thing Blizzard excelled at, was making their games accessible across pretty much all platforms. So, like, no matter what kind of device you have, that, you know, it's always been a bit easy to access. It's not like high-end PC games only.
You don't need the latest and greatest phone in order to be able to play, say, Hearthstone or something. And so it is nice that you could do that.
You do just need a lot of storage space.
You do. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't do anything about that.
I remember having to make some tough choices about what apps I'm going to have to keep on my phone.
I've been there.
And plenty of data planned or a good Wi-Fi connection every time there's a patch, because the patches tend to be pretty big as well. So.
Yep. So pretty
Squelch,
cool.
Squelch is back. Thank God. The week. Yeah. If you try and play any ladder, and it's like they knew the people that use the emotes incessantly. It's like they had a coming out party. Now, maybe they were always like that, and I didn't know because I squelched them. But when you don't have the option, oh boy.
Yes, precisely. So we have three legendary quests this week. Each awards a Descent of Dragons, Saviors of Ulduum, and Rise of Shadow card pack. So, three packs, pretty good.
Three packs for each, so nine total packs over the 3 days.
That's pretty awesome. So, Tuesday, today, is Play 2 Battlegrounds. Wednesday is Play 3 Games in Any Mode. And Thursday, Play 2 Games in Play Mode. So, that's pretty cool. Just play the game. Give you
don't even have to win. You don't have to high roll your shaman.
Yeah, I was gonna say those are the new quests too. Like play, like I've noticed that too. It's like play three games as priest. Like it's like 60 gold for just playing three games, and they list three classes.
Yeah, that's so much better than having to try and win games with a particular class. I'm glad I like. I don't know if they completely got rid of the win games with the same classes or not, but I'm glad that it's just play.
Yeah, for sure. So that's really nice. And then we are looking at, so, and the last thing I want to mention, sorry, I had a brain freeze for a second there. I'm pretty impressed that they balanced Battlegrounds this quickly. It's been live for 7 days as of this recording, and at day six they released balance patches.
Yep. Jeez. Changes to minions, and changes to multiple heroes. Now, buffing a couple heroes, nerfing at least one hero. It seems crazy that, you know, there was a limited number of people that even had access. Now, granted, you know, it was more and more people as the week went on because of the Twitch drops and things like that, and, mm-hmm. and people pre-ordering, but. I mean, it wasn't even into open beta yet, and they already made balance changes.
That shows some insight, so hopefully they'll keep some of that when they look to balance the rest of the game. No call-outs right now. So, all right, guys. So, we just want to keep positive this week. I know we're all feeling a little of the strain of the meta, so we thought we could talk about some of our favorite decks of all time, and this was just a way we could have some fun talking about Hearthstone throughout its lifespan and kind of and just have some good times and walk down memory lane and remember decks that might not have been good in my case, but we had fun with them regardless. So I guess I will go first. So my top three decks of all time, and this is the one that wasn't very good, but was my favorite deck of all time, is OTK Corrupted Healbot Priest. So,
all right.
So if you did not know, Corrupted Healbot was a 5 cost minion, 6/6 mech, death rattle, restore 8 health to the enemy hero. So had double the stats of Antique Healbot, but when it dies, it heals your opponent. So how are you going to kill someone in one turn by healing them for 8? Well, let's look at the deck. There are 2 Akanai Soul Priests that your cards and powers that restore health now deal damage instead. And it's Embrace the Shadow. This turn, your healing effects deal damage instead. So that gives ways to turn those 8 chunks of 8 damage into, or 8 healing into 8 damage. So the goal of the deck is to survive long enough to kill 2 of your corrupted heal bots. You would revive them with Twilight's Call. If you could get more than 1 or more than 2 Twilight's Call, it's also pretty fun. So Twilight's Call into Embrace the Shadow, or if you had an Aconite Soul Priest on board, and then you would cast Circle of Healing. So all of a sudden you'd heal, you'd put 4 1/1 corrupted heal butts on the board that do 8 damage to your opponent when they die, 32 damage when you hit them. It's beautiful. I've never had more fun than that number goes from 30 to -2 really quickly when you do that. It was a lot of fun. So that is my favorite deck of all time. It's janky. It was hard to get it to go off, but I did get it to go off, and I killed a few people here and there with it. So
that was not where I expected you to go with one of your decks. Much less you're saying that's number one on your list.
That's number one on my list. Purely like enjoyable and fun. Like, there's just something about that OTK that's just so ridiculous that like it makes me happy. Like that, I'm usually more the more like. I'm you know, following the meta, I'm playing to what's good, but this deck, I don't know, there's just something about it. Like I said, I think it's how fast the number goes from 30 to 0. It's ridiculous. it's just something about that deck that I always loved, so
Nicolaus, save us from this.
all right, so I'll go with I think we'll do it in circle format.
Sounds
so
good.
I'll go next with my favorite deck of all time. Taunt Druid from the post-nerf Witchwood meta and into Boomsday. So the basis of the deck is you would play taunts. I think it was Ironwood Golem. You would try to recruit that out with Oaken Summons. You would play taunts like Sleepy Dragon, or you would try to recruit them out with recruit out cards with Master Oakheart. Basically, you're just trying to get as many taunts on from your deck into the battlefield as quickly as possible and have them die. And then you would play your Hadronox and you try to kill it immediately, usually with Naturalize, to resummon all the taunts. And then what you would do is you would play Witching Hour and Carnivorous Cube to make more and more and more and more and more and more boards of taunts that your opponent just can't get through. It really did not do very well versus Quest Rogue, but versus pretty much everything else, it was just a lot of fun. Just bringing back these boards of taunts and just say, okay, here you go. And then want to see me do it again? Want to see me do it again?
Again.
Want to see me do again. It again? Yeah.
That's the thing nightmares are made of.
Well, that and Ultimate Infestation, that's pretty nightmarish.
You didn't run it. I think I don't even remember if you ran it or not, because
I saw most of them ran at least, usually ran one copy of
you,
it.
I think you sometimes ran one, but I don't even think, because you would fruit things out. Like, your goal was to play Master Oakheart.
Yes.
Most of the games.
That's such a card, such a ridiculous card. That was that was just so.
Because that could recruit your freaking Hadronox as well. Like, so I don't. It may have, in the early versions, had Ultimate Infestation, but if I'm remembering correctly, it was cut. Like,
yeah, I don't think you needed it. You just, you know, you used the wild
also,
growth that still was two mana, and you just get to Oak Heart, and then you
also, you were playing a lot of heavy cards, so that if you drew five cards, those were going to stay in your hand, like, the entire game.
Right.
Ultimate Infestation was great, but not so great if the cards that you draw are, like, 9 mana, 9 mana, 8 mana, 10 mana, you know?
That's fair.
Right, because, sorry, if I just remembered. So it was the Oakheart would pull a 1, a 2, and a 3 attack minion, right? Mm-hmm. And the 2 attack minion was Dragon Tamer, and then that would pull the Sleepy Dragons or the Primordial Drakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would also have the Lich King as, like, the final taunt minion.
Yes. Yeah. And then the one, sometimes it would be the, I forgot what it was called, but the end of turn, the one attack minion, the 1/5, the end of turn effects trigger twice.
Drakari Enchanter, I believe.
Yes. Yep,
and sometimes you would include the Trog Gloom Eater, I believe it was.
Yes.
The 5 mana 1/5 taunt poisonous. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ran that. I don't think I ran the Jakari. I was just only getting the two, the three attack and the two attack minion out from Okart, and that was enough for me. It was just so much fun just to say it. If you want to play for board, you just lose.
That's fun.
You guys and your combo deck and your just I want to cry deck. I'm gonna go with something more wholesome. Something taught me the basics of the game of Hearthstone, and it is Zoo Warlock. And it's not just any Zoo Warlock. This was Whispers of the Old Gods Zoo Warlock. So the reason for that was there was a big 3-mana 1/5
Darkshire Councilman.
Darkshire Councilman that you'd always try and get the Imp Gang boss was in that deck, and so when it popped out the 1/1s, you'd make your councilman bigger. It ran Knife Jugglers.
The Possessed Villager.
Possessed Villager and all that sort of stuff. That was fun. And then you had a couple different options for ending the game. You could do the Doomguard, but I was still new to the game and didn't want to discard any of my cards because my cards are sacred and they're really important and I can't lose a single one. So one of the first legendaries I crafted was Leroy Jenkins. And you do all this chip damage with your minions. You keep control of the board because, you know, you can play a bunch of minions and buffing up councilmen was really nice to control the board because you get that 3-mana 1/5 to a 4/5 pretty quickly.
I just remember how absolutely insane it was to go Darkshire Councilman on 3 and then Forbidden Ritual on 4.
Ugh.
I think that, or Forbidden Summoning, I can't remember what it was, but yeah, it summoned the ritual, 4 1/1s. Yeah. It's like, okay, here's a 5/5 and 4
1/1s. Especially if you had like a Knife Juggler on the board already, too.
Yeah.
Don't want.
So Leroy Jenkins, power overwhelming. You know, you try and get him down to about, you know, around 10 health or so, and then with the minions on hand, maybe a knife, a well-timed Knife Juggler hit, and then Leroy power overwhelming, you make their face explode. And so that was a deck that I hit level rank 10 for the first time. I hit rank 8 for the first time. I hit rank 7 for the first time, all with that deck. I got my first coaching session with it. And, you know, fun games where, like, my only out was playing a Leroy Jenkins on the board when my opponent has a Knife Juggler on the board. And as long as either of those Knife Jugglers don't hit Leroy, or both of them don't hit Leroy, you have lethal. And winning a game like that where, you know, you spawn two minions on their side of the board, they Knife Juggle, and as long as your Leroy doesn't die, you have lethal. I did that. And so it just, that to me is a deck that I love. And I have liked a lot of the incarnations of Zulok since then, but none of them have been as fun or as rewarding to me as that very first version of Zoo Warlock. And so that will always be my favorite deck.
Okay. So let's go around again. So Nikolaus, remember how you just talking about Taunt Druid? Well, imagine we spice that up a little bit.
No.
Do we just we really spice it up. So we start adding in Spectral Tigers, which is a 4-mana 3/5 minion death rattle. Shuffle this copy of this minion into the deck. We say we two of those die, and then we get Hadrodox to die. And then we played the Undertaker.
No.
So when the Undertaker dies, we shuffle two copies of Undertaker into the deck, and the taunts never end. They literally are endless. That is my version of Taunt Druid. I love that. That was so much fun because it's like, guess who's never fatiguing? And like, can you handle taunt board after taunt board after taunt board? No, I didn't think so. I love that deck. That was my favorite version of it. I just I enjoyed basic Taunt Druid, but the addition of the Undertaker and literally fatigue that never ends. You know, your deck never ends because you're always adding two more copies of Undertaker back in it. So I just liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it was added an air of craziness that cubes lacked.
Given your love of an OTK corrupted Healbot priest, this doesn't actually surprise me that much.
I'm just going to say I did not like this version of Taunt Druid nearly as much because of how weak it was to silence. And like normal Taunt Druid is weak to silence, and this is like even more weak to silence. So if your opponent was just randomly attacking in a Spellbreaker, you just lost the game.
Yeah. Generally, I always saved the two naturalizes. One was for Hadronox, the other was for the first Undertaker. So generally, but you never, I mean, that could obviously flip the script, so it's definitely not a perfect deck, but it was fun. I like that version of the deck, and there wasn't a lot of silence at that point in time, so it was doing well at the beginning of the meta, so. Nick, what do you got for us for number two?
All right. My number two deck is OTK Paladin from Rosticon's Rumble. So this was the similar to the Holy Wrath Paladin that we see today, but it also had Uther of the Ebon Blade. So,
oh, yeah.
You didn't just like auto lose to armor. If you were against like a warrior or something where you weren't going to be able to 50 them, you would instead shuffle in the horseman with the Baleful Bankers. And I think you would like bounce one of them back to your hand or something.
So if it depends on how you had it built. I know I generally played a deck that just focused on the OTK from Uther. So you'd play Call to Arms still, and then you'd play the not the youthful, the Ancient Brewmasters.
Yeah.
And Zola to get bounce the third one. Zola.
Yeah, Zola was the card that you would use. So yeah, you would send two of them to your deck with Banker, and then you would Zola the third, and then at the start of your turn, you would play the three and then hero power for the instant kill. Just the added win condition. Like, I haven't been a huge fan of the Holy Wrath Paladin since.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of needed the Uther to be, like, the alternate win condition. And even just getting, like, just Uther gave you like 20 health from that one card. Like, I feel like a lot of times when I'm playing Holy Wrath Paladin today, I'm just under so much pressure, and I could really just use a 5/3 weapon with lifesteal, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a good card. So yeah, just, it felt like you could win pretty much any matchup if you were just whatever approach you would like. You just had to have an approach. You had to be smart about how you're going to play. And this is, I liked it even after the equality nerf. Like, once the equality nerf, it was completely dropped from like everybody's radar. And I think this is when I got my highest legend finish. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it was either like top 100 or top 50. I can't remember which one it is, but I finished super high legend 1 month with it. Because just nobody was playing it. I'm like, this is a really freaking good deck. And people are just like, but equality cost 4. It's like, who cares? It's still good. You know?
Still works.
You know, so just, to me, this was the ultimate thinking person deck. Like, you could work out a way to win just about every matchup, assuming you weren't just like that 10% chance that you just drew like complete trash. Like your opening hand was like Uther, Shivala, Banker, Banker or something. It's like, well, I guess I lose, you know? Mm-hmm. But barring that, which like I said, only happened like not very often, especially with how you were mulliganing. It really, really felt like there was a chance for you to win any game. And those are the kind of decks that I like. Just the decks that give you a chance.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mage, what do you got for number two?
I also have a Paladin deck. It is a little bit different. Some might say it's not quite the thinking man's deck that OTK, the OTK Paladin deck that Nikolaios just mentioned. But it was Murloc Paladin. Back in right after Cobalts and Catacombs came out, had a plethora of one drops that to supplement the neutral Murlocs that have been in the game basically since the beginning. I'm looking at Grimscale Chum, the one mana 2/1 that buffs a Murloc in your hand. You had Hydrologist, you had the Vilefin Inquisitor that turned your hero power into making 1/1 Murlocs instead of just the regular dudes. And we still had Rockpool Hunter in there at that time, along with, you know, the Tide Hunter, right? Or Tide Caller is the 1/2 that snowballs. And then, you know, War Leader, Seer, all that other stuff. Just so they get a nice board around turn 4 or turn 5, and then you Gentle Megasaur them. And when you Gentle Megasaur them, you adapt all your Murlocs, give them all +3 attack, give them all Wind Fury, give them all Divine Shield, or if you're going up against, you know, a few taunts, then give them all poisonous. And so they're really, you know, and then you also had the option of running Sunkeeper Tarum in the deck, and you could potentially run Call to Arms if you were missing and wanted to get back on the board right away if they somehow were able to clear your first wave of minions. And it was a lot of fun. It felt like I like having decks that you have something to do every turn and figuring out ways that you can protect against what your opponent might be doing. Like, you know, it got to be, you had to know the matchups because your Murlocs are somewhat flimsy and can die pretty easily. So I'm looking at you, Warlock, with all your nice ways of killing Murlocs. And so, it got to be lots of fun. And, I just really liked it. Hydrologist was pretty cool because you get a secret, and that deck didn't really run secrets, but that could help as well, reviving one or that sort of thing. So
Getaway Kodo.
Getaway Kodo, yeah. Too.
Infinite Hydrologist.
Yeah. And then you still had Cold Light Oracle at that point in time. It had not been rotated.
Or you could run Divine Favor and just
Yeah, that card. It's like, oh, I just dropped my hand. You have 8 cards? Yeah, I guess I'll draw all that.
Yeah. That wasn't broken at all.
No,
absolutely not. Neither was Call to Arms when it was freaking 4 mana. So, like, it still kind of boggles my mind that there was a brief period where some people were like, you don't want to play Call to Arms because it pulls out your Murlocs and they don't get the battle cry. That did not matter. That did not matter in the slightest. Yeah. Pull out the one drops. Like, that's still good. Like,
you're playing Tip the Scales now because sometimes Murlocs just being on the board is enough. And then, like, if you have ways of buffing them or doing something crazy with them, just get them on the board and then start doing stuff with them.
Turns out if you put a Murloc War Leader on the board, a bunch of Murlocs on the board are really good. Yeah. You know, Savage Roar? Yeah, that's pretty good to have on a minion, isn't it?
So I hit Legend back-to-back months in, like, January and February after Cobalts came out, just playing that deck, and it was... Mm-hmm. So that holds a special place.
So my final choice was a little bit hard, but I ended up having to go with the deck I've hit Legend with, and that was Shudderwalk Shaman. There was just something really, really, really fun about that deck. Hagatha, Shudderwalk, the Life Drinkers, I ran Prince Kaliseth in most builds that I played. Really, the Glacial Shards, freezing opponents, the Zola, grumbling aboard and getting to replay a bunch of 1/1 Serenite Chain Gangs, and that tension you feel when you drop Shudderwalk and you're like, oh, please don't crumble. And
please do this in the right order. Please.
You feel better when a Serenite Chain Gang comes out and you have not had Grumble go off. So, or Zola, but preferably Grumble. And then you just sit there dragging Shudderwalks that are green on the field and moving around so they come back on the board faster. And just hearing my jaws that bite, my claws that catch. Like a broken record. You only get to hear it one time now. It's just, you don't get to hear him like stereo, my jaws that
yeah.
Also, that also led to one of my favorite competitive Hearthstone moments is that I don't remember who it was. I think it was a DreamHack event where someone made a sign that said, my jaws that bite, my claws that catch, as he was getting beaten by Shudderwalk Shaman and like dancing in front of the camera.
I remember that. That was so awesome. Yeah.
Oh man, that was hilarity personified. So yes, I that deck has a very special place in my heart, and I always had such a good time playing it. So
strangely enough, Shudderwalk Shaman is also my third favorite deck of all time. I think it's pretty clear by now that I do enjoy combo decks, but more specifically, like combo decks that have a variable game plan. And Shudderwalk Shaman was just, it was so intricate. Like, it wasn't, I know a lot of people don't like it because of like the animations and you're just replaying the same card over and over and over again, but it was really tough to play optimally, and there were a bunch of small decisions that you had to make that, like, it was so many, like, when do I play this Lightning Storm and when do I play this, like, I don't know, so many small decisions that greatly impacted the outcome, and had ramifications far reaching just based off of, sometimes it was correct to do nothing, sometimes it was just I need to save my Serenite Chain Gangs so I can grumble it and then play more Serenite Chain Gangs and then Zola my Chain Gang to, like, getting so many freaking Chain Gangs off, you know, how long can this go on, just to get a higher percentage chance that your Shudderwalk would go off. And the mirrors were so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, in one sense, a race. And then in the other sense, you were trying to, like, punch the other person as you were racing. So it's like, you have to respect my board, but I'm also trying to, like, make you waste time dealing with it so I can get further ahead in the draw. It was absurd. It was,
and then weighing, like, if you're behind, weighing if you can afford to Shudderwalk.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
and there, like, I remember specifically versus Odd Rogue, the Shudderwalk Shaman was favored, but you felt like you were on the edge of the cliff the entire game.
Oh yeah.
And these are just the games that I like. The games where there is tension, where it could really go either person's way. And it's the person who really outplayed them, really made the smarter decisions that gets the win. Those are the games that I like to play. It's one of the reasons why I like combo decks. And Shadowwalk Shaman is my third favorite deck of all time.
So I should pick a Shadowwalk deck just to keep this going, but I'm not going to. Sorry. Sorry about that, guys. I am going to suggest something that I think was equally fun, which was during the Witchwood meta, we were playing some Death Rattle Hunter, and the Kathrina, the 8-mana card that pulled a beast out of your deck when it as a battle cry and as a death rattle, and you had this nice 1-mana card called Play Dead that allowed you to trigger a death rattle. You ran Carnivorous Cubes, you ran the big beasts that you ran were Charge Devil Sores, the 8-mana 7/7 with charge, but a charge that says battle cry can't attack a hero this turn. Except the battle cry doesn't go off if you recruit it from your deck using Kathrina's death rattle, or if you get them by way of a Carnivorous Cube. You're also running Crush. You're running maybe Stitch Tracker to find a piece if you were missing it.
Devil Sore Egg was the bane of Devil Sore so many was decks. In there
too, because you could do that right away early too. And then Devil's Sore, or then you use the Play Dead on the Devil's Sore eggs and just get 5/5s.
And this Terror Scale Stalker.
Yes, yeah. That was
3
that
mana.
Was... And, you also ran Kalaseth in that deck as well, because there was no other 2-drops. So there was the times where you just played the Kalaseth and then top deck the eggs, so it actually has an attack value, and you can't just ignore it.
And then you get into the infinite value generator that was Deathstalker Rexxar.
That was going to be the thing. If you somehow did not have enough beasts, you just created whatever beast you wanted with Deathstalker Rexxar, and then lined it up with the cubes, and the Play Deads, and the Terror Scale Stalkers. So.
And that really beat Warriors in the Boomsday meta, where it's like, yeah, sure, you can clear my board about a million times, but if I'm putting out like an 8-cost beast every single turn, how long can you answer that for? And the answer is not longer than I can keep creating them.
Well, I liked it when you were like having the eggs and the cubes on the board, and so if they actually did an AOE, there might be as much or more attack on the board post-brawl than there was before the brawl. So it was just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, one of my favorite decks I'm not on this list, but one of my favorite decks during this time was Big Spell Mage. And so it was so interesting. That matchup was so interesting, trying to like manage your AOE to like clear the first wave, and then being able to clear the second wave, and then still having resources to deal with the Rexxar and having your Jaina hero power to try and out heal. That was a really fun matchup.
Yeah,
infuriating because I normally lost it, but fun.
it was. I feel like from the Hunter side, it definitely felt probably favored in the Hunter, but if you had a good mage player, they could make your life absolutely miserable playing because it did feel like there was a lot of really good answers that the mage could use against you, and just kind of make it so that you had to go play a really long game at that point.
I do want to say Big Spell Mage would probably have taken the number 3 spot for me if it wasn't for the fact that every single freaking time I rolled, I played Dragon's Fury, it rolled freaking Polymorph. God damn it. Like a 1-in-8 Polymorph. I'm not salty.
Always Polymorph.
Those were good lists. I like those.
Yeah, that was a very interesting meta. Really, I miss Reckless Flurry for Warriors. Spend your armor, but clear the board. How much is that worth to you? Playing against Odd Rogue, everything.
Yeah, because I mean, like, when you were just with the Odd Hero Power, it was 5 mana, deal 4 to the board. Like,
yeah,
that was a 4. That was a 5 mana Flame Strike. Because normally you didn't have minions on the board, so it's not like it impacted you.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, I think that's gonna. We're going to wind down and we're going to look at this week's poll question. Mage?
All right. So the poll question this week, we, you know, given that we have Battlegrounds out now it was in the closed beta and now going into the open beta, and we have a very high rollish sort of meta going on that I know a lot of people are going to be happy to see come to an end. So we want to know how many games of ranked ladder have you played in the last week? I actually thought I was zero because I hadn't forgotten when I actually played my ranked games recently. But the answers are 0, 1 to 7, 8 to 15, or 16 plus. So let us know if you played a game a day, 2 games a day, or something more than that over the last week. And definitely let us know and share any other thoughts on the current meta or what you're looking forward to in the new expansion, and we will talk about it during next week's show.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for us. You can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS, which has our Discord as the top pinned tweet. So feel free to come hang out in our Discord. More people are showing up. We have Descent of the Dragons chat and images. So come hang out and talk about the new cards as they get revealed. I know that's still another week off, but when it does come out, hang out and, you know, chill with us and talk about some of the cards. You can email us at dr3hs@gmail.com, and please feel free to leave us a review on wherever you listen to this podcast. I believe really iTunes is the only place you can, but anything you do would be greatly appreciated. You can find me at Daring Alkaline on Twitter, and I actually started streaming a little bit. I've been streaming some Neo Geo stuff where I set up my webcam and you look at my Neo Geo screen. Last Friday I streamed all of Metal Slug 3. I played through Metal Slug 3, which is about an hour game. So I continued 80 times, so if that was quarters, that was $20 I would have spent on the game. So it's a nice even number. Nicolaius, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Nicolaius123, or hit me up in the Discord.
And Mage.
Mage of Death on our Discord, at Mage of Death on Twitter, and then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday I stream at twitch.tv/Mage of Death.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, and as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom.